workers is the canary in the coal mine. I mean, we're saying it's more than 250,000 probationary workers that have been fired. But probation includes people who've been there for decades who get a promotion and they then go on some kind of probationary period. They too get fired.
Yeah, look, the big lie getting put out there right now is that the reason working class Americans are hurting is because of federal employees. And there's just no basis for this. Elon Musk, the richest man on earth, has $412 billion net worth. That's more, that's significantly more than the total pay of every federal worker, 2.3 million federal workers. They get $217 billion per year. Musk makes more than all of them combined, almost double. So the idea that what's at the root of people struggling is federal workers rather than the billionaires that are taking our country into the ground, it's ludicrous. And I think it's time for people to start speaking out.
Well, we want to thank you so much, Eric, for being with us. We'll be out covering those protests in New York City, both at, I think it's what, 12:30 and or 12 and 5:30.
Yeah, so it's going to, in New York City, it'll be noon at Foley Square and then 5:30 at Foley Square. And we're expecting a big turnout, so I hope to see you there.
Eric Long, professor of labor studies at Rutgers University, author of We Are the Union. He's organizing along with federal workers around the country. A happy belated birthday to Neil Shabata and to Hugh Grant. And Juan, once again, happy 29th anniversary. It is so wonderful to be here with you on this day and with all the listeners and viewers around the country and around the world. We wish we could.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
Listen to Armando Puentes every Sunday from 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m., playing the best in Tejano mixing with some traditional conjunto, as well as mariachi music and public affairs pertaining to the Latino community. That's Armando Puentes, only on KBOO Portland.
Support for KBOO comes from KBOO members and Grendel's Coffee Shop, located at East Burnside and 8th Avenue in Portland, featuring coffee, tea, sandwiches, and more. Information at grendelspdx.com.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, Portland City Council holds a night session starting at 6 o'clock.
A bill to give all students free breakfast and lunch in Oregon has widespread support.
And in national news, President Trump and Elon Musk spread disinformation about Social Security.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, February 19th, 2025. I'm Althea Billings.
And I'm Josh Salem. The Portland City Council will hold an evening meeting tonight starting at 6 p.m. Regular City Council meetings take place on the first and third Wednesdays of the month, and on a third Wednesday like tonight, it's in the evening. The idea is to give people who work during the day a better chance of participating in city government. On tonight's agenda, the council will vote on whether to allow the city to use eminent domain on a project to construct a new sewer main in the Kearns neighborhood. They'll also hear the annual Portland Police Bureau report, Joint Terrorism Task Force. The report details when and how Portland police collaborated with the FBI in the last year. The FBI didn't refer any cases to Portland police last year, but Portland police referred one to the FBI. The report says it involved two people trespassing in a restricted area at the airport where Portland police keep their plane. The City Council will also vote on appointing Bob Day as police chief. Day was hired as interim police chief by former Mayor Wheeler, calling him out of retirement. Councilor Loretta Smith has brought another measure to the council that will require 9 votes instead of the normal 7. She wants to ask the city auditor to do a special audit of all the city grant funds that weren't assigned to a budget item in the past few fiscal years. The resolution says it will help promote transparency and give councilors needed information as they look at making cuts to the city budget, which has a $100 million shortfall. The council meeting begins at 6 p.m. and is also available to live stream online at portland.gov.
Rates of hunger are increasing across Oregon, and new legislation aims to give all students access to free breakfast and lunch. A recent poll shows the bill has huge support. KABU reporter Ezra has more on the story.
New legislation that would ensure every Oregon public school student has access to free breakfast and lunch has widespread bipartisan support. A recent poll shows more than 80% of Oregon voters support the bill. Currently, 1 in 6 children in Oregon is facing hunger and food insecurity. Avin S. is a junior at Lake Oswego High School and an organizer with the School Meals for All Coalition. She says while her school doesn't qualify for universal school meals, she still notices that some of her classmates might not have enough food during the day.
As a student, I know firsthand how important food is to academic success. No one can learn on an empty stomach, and it's difficult to focus when your stomach is growling.
While most public schools in Oregon already provide free breakfast and lunch to all students, the bill would extend those meals to tens of thousands who still go without. David Wieland, with Partners for a Hunger-Free Oregon, says the program especially benefits low-income students who can face stigma and bullying for receiving free meals. He points to research showing that when meals are free for all students, suspension rates drop. Wieland adds that this bill is the conclusion of decades of advocacy work, and the funds are already in place to make it happen.
We're not going to say that kids have to pay for their textbooks or have to pay to take the bus. Why would we do the same with the basic food that they need to function during the school day?
Data from Oregon State University shows that hunger rates in the state have risen significantly in recent years, with an additional 65,000 people facing food insecurity each year. The data also shows that communities of color in Oregon experience hunger at twice the rate of white residents. The coalition says School Meals for All saves families about $1,400 annually per student. The bill is currently in the Oregon House Education Committee. For KABU News and the Oregon News Service, I'm Ezra.
The Trump administration is falsely claiming that millions and millions of dead persons over 100 years old are receiving Social Security benefits. And that claim is being widely propagated on social media. President Donald Trump and unelected advisor Elon Musk have themselves said on social media and to the press that people who are 100, 200, and even 300 years old are improperly getting payments, a huge problem, per Musk. Trump said, quote, "If you take all of those millions of people off Social Security, all of a sudden we have a very powerful Social Security with people that are 80 and 70 and 90, but not 200 years old," end quote. Musk posted, quote, "Maybe Twilight is real, and there are a lot of vampires collecting Social Security. Having tens of millions of people marked in Social Security as alive when they are definitely dead is a huge problem," end quote. Social Security fraud is actually quite unusual. A July 2024 report from Social Security's Inspector General states that from fiscal years 2015 through 2022, less than 1% of payments were improper. Most of the erroneous benefits were overpayments to living people. Also, earlier this year, the U.S. Treasury clawed back more than $31 million in a variety of federal payments, including Social Security benefits that had been made to dead people. The money was reclaimed as part of a 5-month pilot program following part of the Omnibus Appropriations Bill in 2021. The Treasury Department believes it will recover more than $215 million through 2026. The Social Security Administration maintains the most complete federal database of individuals who have died, with a file containing more than 142 million records dating back to 1899.
Part of the confusion regarding the ultra-elderly potentially receiving benefits comes from Social Security software system. Its programming language defaults some entries with missing or incomplete birth dates to a reference point of more than 150 years ago. Also, the agency has not established an effective system to properly annotate death information in its database. It included roughly 19 million Social Security numbers from people born in 1920 or earlier, but who were not marked as deceased. But that does not mean those individuals were receiving benefits. The agency decided not to update the database because the cost to do so would run more than $9 million. A July 2023 Social Security Office of the Inspector General report states, quote, almost none of the number holders discussed in the report currently receive SSA payments, end quote. And as of September 2015, the agency automatically stops payments to people who are older than 115 years. Nancy Altman, president of the progressive advocacy group Social Security Works, said, quote, Trump and Musk are intentionally undermining confidence in our Social Security system. They are laying the groundwork for denying benefits to anyone they want to punish or deem unworthy, or indeed any one of us, end quote. This weekend, Michelle King, the acting commissioner of the Social Security Administration, resigned from her post after serving the agency for over three decades in opposition to Elon Musk's DOGE, attempting to gain access to sensitive Social Security data. Major Social Security financial problems are looming, though, including potential insolvency. The Social Security Administration has been running in deficit since 2021.
President Trump has been holding peace talks with Russia on the war in Ukraine, but without any representatives from Ukraine or Europe involved. On Tuesday, Trump said of Ukrainian President Zelensky in the war, quote, you should have never started it. You could have made a deal. Zelensky said President Trump, quote, unfortunately lives in this disinformation space, end quote. Last week, American officials conceded that Ukraine would not reclaim all of its territory or join NATO. Trump has demanded that Ukraine give up some of its natural resources in exchange for U.S. aid and security guarantees. Today, Trump warned Zelensky that he, quote, better move fast or he, quote, won't have a country left, and accused him, without evidence, of prolonging the war because he was benefiting from continuing U.S. financial and military support.
In the past few months, damages in the billions have been tallied from climate change-induced disasters, including Hurricane Milton, Hurricane Helene, and the Los Angeles fires. Conservationists say solutions are needed to avert disasters from forest fires, but the Save Our Forests Act, already passed by the U.S. House of Representatives, is not a solution. Roz Brown has more from New Mexico.
Environmentalists say a bill passed by the U.S. House of Representatives meant to curtail forest fires in New Mexico and elsewhere will do no such thing, and are encouraging senators to vote against it. The Fix Our Forests Act would reform NEPA, the National Environmental Policy Act. The 55-year-old law requires environmental reviews and public input for major federal actions such as new logging, which supporters of the act say would mitigate wildfire risks. Dan Ritzman with the Sierra Club believes the deceptively named bill would undermine environmental protections.
The Sierra Club has long supported science-based responsible forest management. We echo the experts who support prescribed burns, responsible forest management, and we support home and community hardening to make neighborhoods and cities more resilient in the face of fire.
New Mexico's largest utility company recently warned customers in fire risk areas, including Santa Fe, that high wind events often increase in the spring, and reminded residents to be prepared for potential power shutoffs to ensure power lines are not a source of wildfires. To combat climate change, Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey says the U.S. needs more renewable energy, including solar, wind, and battery storage technology. Instead, he says the focus is on DEI, the acronym for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion.
They keep invoking DEI, but we know that DEI to Donald Trump just means defending Elon's interests. It's just such an incredible power and money grab.
President Donald Trump has repeatedly called climate change a hoax and recently suggested he might end the federal emergency management's role in responding to local climate disasters. Many state leaders already have said they do not have the resources to tackle such events on their own. This is Roz Brown, New Mexico News Connection.
The SAVE Act, requiring proof of citizenship to vote, is moving in the U.S. House. And the agriculture industry is concerned about mass migrant deportations. With those stories and more, it's Edwin J. Vieira with 2025 Talks.
Welcome to 2025 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times. What this bill would do is that you would have to physically show up with your birth certificate and photo ID or your passport and go to the office every time you want to register to vote or even update your registration.
Sydney Bryant with the Center for American Progress says the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act would deny the vote to eligible Americans. The SAVE Act is likely to pass the Republican-led House. It's part of ongoing conservative efforts to stop non-citizen voting, which almost never happens. Bryant said state ID laws have denied the ballot to citizens who don't have easy access to documents. Most Americans don't keep a valid passport, and many married women don't have a birth certificate showing their married name. Commenting on negotiations in Saudi Arabia, President Donald Trump said Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, quote, should have never started, unquote, the war with Russia. Trump's moves for mass deportations could dramatically reduce the number of migrant farm workers. According to USDA, around half of all agricultural workers are immigrants, and more than 40% didn't have authorization to work in the country. Manuel Gago Silcox with the Virginia-based Legal Aid Justice Center says Trump's policies haven't had much impact there yet.
We will know about this when the season starts. I think like around May, April, we'll see how this plan will be affecting farms and crops, especially on the summer, the harvesting season, when it's more labor intensive.
Gago Silcox said the demand for H-2A visas, which led companies to hire foreign workers for agricultural jobs, is likely to rise dramatically. California educators are opposing congressional plans to pay for extending tax cuts by slashing Medicaid. Medi-Cal pays for more than a third of California children's health care and the care of more than half of kids in the LA Unified School District. Corey Tamblyn, a school psychologist at Pajaro Valley, says they depend on it for the assessments they do every day.
So a lot of times we serve as an intermediary to identify things that are happening in students like autism as well as mental health disorders. Without these monies, I do think we're going to be less supportive of our families. More burdens are going to be put on families.
He says kids who get that preventive care are less likely to be absent from class, more likely to graduate from high school and college, and earn higher wages in adulthood. Community clinics and rural hospitals nationwide say they're bracing for major cuts. I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for an in-depth report on Imagine Black's Reimagining Public Safety Project and their upcoming screening of the film Beyond Walls, a story of solidarity and justice. We'll be joined by Executive Director Joy Elise Davis. Then, stick around, we're speaking with Laura Grimes from Oregon Arts Watch about the latest news from the art world. At 6, it's Sea Change Radio. At 6:30, Free Culture Radio. Then at 7, Hard Knock Radio. Tonight's weather will be cloudy with an overnight low of 42 degrees. Tomorrow's weather will be cloudy too, with a high of 50. Today in history, in 1963, Betty Friedan's The Feminine Mystique is published, spurring the second wave of feminism in the United States. The quote of the day is from Chinese-American author Amy Tan, born this day in 1952. She said, quote, "Everyone must dream. We dream to give ourselves hope. To stop dreaming, well, that's like saying you can never change your fate." Isn't that true?
Controversial energy company Enbridge is planning to reroute its Line 5 oil pipeline. But a tribe in Lake Superior says that new reroute would violate water quality rules. With that story and more, it's Antonia Gonzalez with National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A Lake Superior tribe in Wisconsin says a Canadian energy firm's plans to reroute an oil and gas pipeline will violate its water quality standards under the Clean Water Act. Danielle Kading has more.
Energy firm Enbridge wants to reroute Line 5 after the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa sued the company in 2019 to shut down and remove the pipeline from its lands. Line 5 carries up to 23 million gallons of oil and natural gas liquids daily from Superior to Sarnia, Ontario. Federal regulators signed off on the tribe's water quality standards in 2009. Bad River Tribal Chair Robert Blanchard says the reroute would harm the tribe's resources.
Because there's many more streams and tributaries and everything that runs towards Bad River, into Bad River, out into Lake Superior.
Earth Justice attorney Stephanie Sosi represents the tribe. She says it's possible blasting bedrock to install the pipe could unearth elements that could become hazardous when exposed.
The blasting materials themselves could be hazardous and introduce hazardous components to the water.
She says those may include PFAS, mercury, or other chemicals. An Enbridge spokesperson says the company is confident the project will not significantly impact water quality or exceed the tribe's standards. For National Native News, I'm Danielle Kading.
U.S. Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski has introduced a bill that would officially designate North America's highest mountain as Denali, its Koyukon Athabascan name. The legislation would require that any reference in U.S. laws, maps, or other records refer to the mountain as Denali. This comes after President Trump's executive order to change the name back to Mount McKinley. Murkowski spoke about the mountain on the Senate floor last week, saying for Alaskans, it will always be Denali. She says her action follows the Alaska State Legislature, which recently moved a resolution urging the administration and the U.S. Board on Geographic Names to maintain the name. And as KMBA's Rhonda McBride tells us, the fight to preserve the name is an old battle.
If she were alive today, Pauline Carla would probably sing her Denali song to protest President Trump's executive order. Carla was in her late 90s when she performed her Denali song at a Dinakanaga Elders and Youth Conference. She had greeted President Obama with that same song when he visited Alaska in 2015, the summer his administration changed the name back from McKinley to Denali.
What I'm saying here is, say Denali, say Denali.
When it was named back to the original name of Denali, it just felt so good, and it was healing.
Angela Gonzalez remembers when Pauline sang that song for Obama. In her Athabascan Woman blog, she wrote about it and the joy she felt over the return of the ancient name.
Just the feeling of a great land and untold stories from our ancestors.
Angela's maiden name is Yatlin, which means runner, and refers to her family's long history of trading goods.
We definitely traveled a long ways.
Where the mountain was part of a long network of trails that went all the way from Siberia to California. And Denali, which means tall one in her Koyukon Athabascan language, was an important landmark. Angela says no matter what the president does, Denali will always be Denali. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
SHIELD laws aim to prevent legal penalties against abortion providers and patients from states with restrictive abortion policies. But as Crystal Blair reports, these laws are facing more and more legal challenges.
Dr. Margaret Carpenter was indicted by a Louisiana grand jury for prescribing abortion medication to a patient in the state via telehealth. Louisiana bans abortion with limited exceptions, and arrest warrants were issued for Carpenter and the patient's mother, who turned herself in. However, SHIELD laws in New York, where Carpenter resides, prevent the extradition. Temple University Law School Dean Rachel Rebuchet collaborates with legislators and SHIELD law advocates. She believes the broader goal of those who oppose SHIELD laws is to halt FDA-approved male medication abortion.
And I think the consequences are, you know, for the providers, I think there is a chilling effect. No one wants to be indicted for a crime. Mm-hmm. No one wants to be sued for $100,000.
Louisiana officials vowed to prosecute Carpenter, stating it's illegal to send abortion pills or coerce an abortion in the state. On February the 3rd, New York Governor Kathy Hochul signed a law allowing doctors who prescribe abortion medication to request that only their medical practice's name, not their own, appear on prescription labels. Rebuchet emphasized the main objective of SHIELD laws.
There's a whole grouping of things, but the intent of SHIELD laws is to try to deflect attacks from out of state for providers in state.
Louisiana Attorney General Liz Murrell said on a social media platform that she will hold individuals accountable for breaking the law. This story was produced with original reporting from Rebecca Sager for the Michigan Independent. For the Michigan News Connection, I'm Crystal Blair.
Before you visit Sovie Island, buy your required parking permit ahead of time. and do it online. You will no longer be able to purchase the permit at a store on the island. The Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, or ODFW, has stopped selling bulk parking permits to local Sauvie Island businesses. Department spokesperson Beth Killian said, quote, ODFW is moving away from utilizing prepaid booklets and instead is moving all product sales to ODFW's electronic licensing system. Kristen Clark, owner of the Sauvie Island Cove Market, said her store sold somewhere between $100,000 and $250,000 worth of permits every year, and the change will seriously affect the business. People purchasing the permits online will also need to print their permits in order to display them on their vehicle as required.
On New York City's public transit system, fare evasion has been a persistent problem. Fully funding the city's public transit could reduce this. Edwin J. Vieira has more.
Fully funding New York City's public transit system could reduce crime, although it's been a controversial idea. Even as Mayor Eric Adams and Governor Kathy Hochul have increased security system-wide, fare evasion is a major crime in the city's public transit system. Last year alone, more than 143,000 tickets were given out to people for not paying their fares. Reporter Justin A. Davis, who writes about this issue for Yes Media, says it's been challenging to fund public transit fully.
Public transportation is always a hard sell. In New York, in particular, you're dealing with the interplay between local funding and state funding. Obviously, MTA has had a major budget crisis in recent years, and so there have been a lot of different questions posed about what exactly to do about that.
He adds to fully fund MTA would require a shuffling of priorities in the state budget. Fares are about 26% of the agency's budget, but full funding would counteract the MTA's losses from fare evasion, which reached $700 million in 2022 alone. It's estimated fully funding the agency would cost more than $68 billion, which would be helped by congestion pricing in New York City. Many strategies have been tried to reduce fare evasion and other transit crimes like aggressive broken windows policing, but many studies, including one from an MTA behavioral consultant, find these policing methods have limited success with counteracting fare evasion. Davis says despite its problems, broken windows policing remains a key part of transit safety.
I think in some ways it is a very easy solution for people because we tend to associate crime with poverty, and a lot of the sort of low-level offenses that get targeted the most in broken windows policing, a lot of those are crimes of poverty.
Data from the New York City Police Department finds fare evasion arrests and court summons fall disproportionately on minorities in New York. In 2022, they made up 73% of people arrested and given a summons for fare evasion. By the next year, they made up 82% of tickets. This is Edwin J. Vieira for New York News Connection. This story was produced with original reporting by Justin A. Davis for Yes Media.
Why is it so cold outside when the climate is warming? Dr. Anthony Leisowitz has more on the story with Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Leisowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Winter storms can bring icy winds, frigid temperatures, and heavy snow, even to parts of the U.S. that rarely see such extreme winter weather. These blustery winter storms prompt some people to ask, what happened to global warming? But cold and snowy days will still occur even as the climate warms. Over the past few decades, average winter temperatures have been rising across the U.S., and many places are experiencing fewer cold days. But the weather in any given location varies from day to day, so you can still expect extreme cold at times. And although it sounds counterintuitive, global warming can even cause unusually cold and snowy weather. Warmer temperatures can weaken the polar jet stream, a belt of high wind that circles the globe below the Arctic. A weaker jet stream can move erratically, pushing frigid air from the Arctic down to the continental U.S., causing extremely cold conditions. Warmer temperatures also evaporate more water into the atmosphere, and when it gets cold, all that atmospheric moisture can then fall as heavy snow. So don't get rid of your heavy parka and snow boots. You'll still experience some cold, wintry weather, even in a warmer world. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
KBOO News poet Dan Raphael is taking a different point of view on Trump and singing.
For a change, let's talk about what Don Alon is not cutting. Defense, ICE, border patrols, wherever Musk has contracts. Let's not talk about who's getting fired, but who's been hired. An anti-vaxxer for the health department, a friend of Putin for intelligence, a vice president who needs rabies shots, a president who just wants to give everything his brand, with Republicans all rolling over to receive his blessing. See the pattern here? Fewer jobs, fewer services, more enforcement and fear. Sound like a democracy to you? I can hear Donnie singing, "You say you got a constitution, well, you know, I am going to change that world. I don't care about your institutions, no, I let them crumble to the ground. The Congress and courts can't tell me what to do. Don't protest too loud or ICE will come for you. You know it's going to be neither poetic nor just." This is Dan Raphael.
You're listening to the KABU Evening News for Wednesday, February 19th, 2025. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news, stories, and tips at 971-245-2158. Our production team for tonight's newscast includes Dan Raphael, Josh Salem, and Ezra. Their producer is Althea Billings, and our engineer is Ray Bodwell. Special thanks to Edwin J. Vieira, Antonia Gonzalez, Crystal Blair, Roz Brown, and Dr. Anthony Leisowitz. The director of the evening news is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available at our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Josh Salem.
And I'm Althea Billings. All of our KABU programs, including the evening news, are supported by our members. If you would like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kabu.fm/give or text KABU to 44321. Stay tuned now for KABU News in Depth.